We are being recorded. That's great news, so you'll be able to reference this at some later date. Welcome to the call this evening. So excited to be with you. It's always a delight to look forward to these Tuesday nights and the opportunity, those things that matter most. A computer, and on my screen is a moment of great celebration. This last week, as many of you may now know if you've been spending time in your back-end tools, Joy in the Journey is now a reality. The recordings have been completed and posted. You're going to find some very exciting information here in terms of gratitude, joy and sorrow, recognition and remuneration, and how they play a part in whether we're experiencing joy, handling hard times, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, managing time itself, discovering your mission and purpose, and the characteristics and affirmations for joy in the journey. Very excited to finally have this done. This is the completion. This week marks the completion of putting up in a recorded state the six qualities of an intentional creator. I look at this, I'm looking right now at 378 pages. That's the transcript from the recordings that I have now in front of me. That's going all the way from O to Breathe Again, what we're now calling the fork in the road, which is curing the ease disease and becoming an intentional creator. Greatest concern is that this is a tradition. I don't recommend that you try to absorb all of this in a short period of time, but I do highly recommend that you start spending a little time each day with this information. I can tell you that it's been one of the most amazing experiences of my life to take these principles that I've learned over the last 20 years and to put them into a recording with very specific chapters and steps and practices so that someone can start to put these into practice in their life. Now, the next stage, just so you know, is that we will be putting up, in addition to the audio that you can download to an MP3 player, and I had the chance to talk to a couple people today that had downloaded it to their MP3 and were listening to it when they were out walking or driving or whatever the case may be. Put on your iPod, plug it into your car, listen to it. We're going to also be putting some worksheets on that you can download. I would imagine we're probably about a month away before we see this, but eventually you'll be like six or seven recordings for you to select. You can download any one to an MP3 player. You'll also be able to download the PDF of a worksheet, which is going to be an abbreviated worksheet, because as you're listening to this, there's a fair amount of meat in here. There's a lot of little things you're going to want to pick up, and we're going to take those most important things and put them in a document for you so that you don't have to be scrambling to take notes the whole time. You can see that the key phrase is there or the key point is there, and you can add to it if you wish. We also are going to be putting into that PDF, which is a very interesting piece, at the very top, the six measurements that apply to that quality from your latest assessment. So it'll be interactive. So as you're studying a concept such as remuneration, you can go to that particular measurement in your assessment. It'll be right there on the document that you're listening to. You're listening and reading and taking notes. There's the measurement right there so that you'll know whether it's orange or red or green or teal. You'll know whether that's a real challenge for you. Now, I referenced some of those measurements. It'll be a lot easier when that's finally in the document. That's the next stage. Oh, this is going to get increasingly exciting to have this library of information. I can anticipate over time we'll add to it some pieces, some practices to help you implement it. We're in a conversation last night and this morning, Lincoln and I were, and we were talking about the fact that to know how to intentionally create is one thing, to be able to explain it is another, and to walk through these pieces so that someone can do what people do who create success in their life. And that's what we want you to be able to do. And many of you are going to go through some of these principles and say, wow, I used to do that, or that's what I do. Now I understand. Yes, this isn't necessarily a revelation of all kinds of new things. There will be some things in here that were definitely out of focus, out of balance, and perhaps not doing at all. But this should be like coming home. This should be a lot like remembering. This should be something something that feels so natural and so true, because it is. These are the principles. This is what's going on behind these walls. So many of us have so many of these thoughts in common. So many of us have an idea of what we should be doing. We know in many ways the kinds of things we should do on a daily basis, but we're not doing them. And this will encourage us. That means to add to our heart. It will inspire us, breathe life into us. It will give us courage, heart, core heart. It'll give us that encouragement to actually take this on and do it. You know, success really isn't that complicated. What is complicated is all the noise that goes in our head that keeps us from doing the very things we know that will create it. That's one piece. Success is not that hard so long as we're focused in those pivotal moments each day. And when we're there, we're conscious enough to have that moment where we're saying, oh, I really do want to hear the thought process this time. I don't want to have another excuse why I didn't. In that pivotal moment, I want to hear it. And if it's not serving me, I want to consciously change. I am going to be in charge of my life. Now, I had somebody say to me the other day, David, but I'm a Christian, and I believe that God's in charge of my life. And I want to tell you, I believe that. I truly do believe that. There's a power greater than us. But I also know that that power does not do the work for us. That power opens doors of opportunity. And many of you have many doors already open. And with those doors already open, you are pleading to that power to rescue you from a situation that may not be very pleasant. One of the greatest truths, and I just wrote about this in Mission and Purpose, one of the greatest truths that I discovered through this process is that that power opens doors and we do the work. And when we expect that power to do the work, we frustrate the program. It doesn't do that. That's not what that power, whatever name you assign to it, that's not what that power does. It manifests ideas and impressions and solutions to problems. It will endow you with more ability when you're fully using the gifts already given. It will put people on your path who can serve you and who you can serve if your intention is to bless the lives of others and you're in action and taking passion-driven action on the impressions and ideas and solutions that have been manifest. That is the relationship. C.S. Lewis used to say it. He would use the phrase God. God wants us to grow up. And that's very true. It is time. Don't be offended by this. I do this every morning in the mirror. David, grow up. Grow up means to be all that I can be. To do the work I am currently capable of and to acquire the ability to do even more. And to do that work with passion so that it's not boring and mundane and repetitious. To take on life at that level. To decide to embrace these principles. To engage in life. To connect with people. To create value in everything that we do. And to contribute to the world. That is a great way to live. And that's what this is all about. I'm sitting here looking at 378 pages that finally tells the story beginning to end. What does it take to actually create success in your life? Now, many of you are with companies and approaches to life and jobs and careers, etc. And you know that there are some great opportunities amongst those who are on the phone. Whether or not we perform at a high enough level to create on these six qualities. So now you have them. I'm just sending this off tonight to John David Mann. John David Mann, who wrote The Go-Giver and wrote John Ashraf's book, The Answer, and Spencer Johnson's book, Peaks and Valleys. I have the distinct privilege of working with John. He's my collaborator. I'm now handing him officially 378-page document saying, okay, John, don't lose the spirit or my voice, but we need to turn this into a 220-page book. And Margaret's waiting. Margaret, my agent down at Margaret McBride and Associates, it is time now to take this to the next level. If you can hear the excitement in my voice, It's because tonight it is a very humbling and sacred moment. This has been 3 years in the process, getting this to this point. We've been working feverishly on the assessment to support it since January 30th, and that assessment is now up, and it's getting more and more stable with the technology as we continue to work bugs out of it. It is very exciting to have it up and functioning and to have these principles now available to you. So please, please, please take the time to start listening to one or two of these segments each day. Some of them are 10 minutes long, some are as long as an hour. Some of them are 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Just take one or two of them. Listen to them while you drive or while you walk. Take the time to exercise. It's a great time to listen. And let these things start to permeate your soul. And while you're listening to this, study the scrolls as Og prescribes. Study scroll number one, 2 or 3 days. Some have done it for 30. It's not a requirement in the greatest secret. We start with scroll two. We spend 3 times a day for 30 days with that scroll. And then we work our way through those scrolls, and we use those scrolls to awaken our awareness so that we can apply these principles, as we have now taught them, in your life so that you can begin to experience the success that you so richly deserve. And this will be of no value if we don't listen to it. Having it sitting on our computer is not going to somehow, by osmosis, create success in our life. It will be done by listening and applying on a daily basis of becoming an intentional creator. May you have the courage to do that. So if we may, just for a moment, thank you for letting me go off on a little bit of a tangent with a little bit of excitement. It is so fun to have this here and to be able to share it with all of you. I've thought about several of these things and what would be very best for everyone tonight. And I got to tell you that there's something that just keeps coming back. I'm going to explore it with you for a few moments because there's a lot being said and has been said about positive mental attitude. And I really believe in what we would call positive mental attitude of having good thoughts, of entertaining good thoughts, and consciously overriding those thoughts would be sabotaging in our lives. We must be very careful in the process of being positive that we're not living in fantasy. Positive going, yes, it's going to happen, I know it's going to happen, and it'll absolutely happen, doesn't make it happen. That's just a commitment to do whatever is necessary to make it happen. If we understand that process, the positive piece doesn't create the reality any more than fantasy creates tangible reality. It is a moment of commitment to do the things in the millimeters of creation, the next step and the next step. I have talked with so many who said, but David, oh, what about the law of attraction? And I go, yes, absolutely. Let's understand it absolutely clearly. It is not that I drive through a parking lot and some power manifests a parking space. That's almost making trite of something that is so powerful, so beautiful, so incredible. Let me tell you about the law of attraction in this context. It is understanding how to speed up the creative process. Not to circumvent it, because you can't. Not to shortcut it, because you can't. It is a series of laws, and when you follow them, success is created. But it is being able to speed up that process beyond the normal tick, tick, tick of linear time. And it's very simple how we do this. And we understand these. I'm sitting here looking at all six of these qualities. Let's weave them together for a moment. It is making the conscious decision that we will bring abundance to the lives of other people. That's the first piece. It shows up in our eyes. It shows up in our heart. People can discern it. Now, we can't get to this space until we spend a little bit of time on self-esteem and say, what is it that's causing me to drag this ugly sack? All of these things from my past. What are they? What have I been trying to ignore and pretend that isn't there? Can I have the courage to turn around and empty that sack and look at it? I had one of the most precious moments this week as a coaching client was sharing this monumental breakthrough in their life. It was so thrilling to see them take on with such courage something that they had not wanted to face for a lifetime, and to see the joy come alive inside their soul, and knowing that that flicker is going to turn into a very bright and wonderful flame. Oh, it's the birth of their soul. It's taking all that crap of some of us on the phone, many of us grew up in homes that weren't ideal, and some actually dysfunctional. Some of us have been in bad relationships. Some have had business failures. Some have lost millions of dollars. Some have had foreclosures. All of these things going on, things happening to us, things that we've done to others, all of this stuff. And when all of that stuff is preoccupying our minds, we cannot put into place the law of attraction because we are not focused on bringing abundance to the lives of other people. It's impossible. So we want to take a look and say, what is this? What is this stuff? What have I been dragging around? And make the decision to say, I'm going to hold it in my hands and I'm going to feel it for what it is. Now, some people would tell you, that's crazy. You want to throw this out in the ocean. No, you don't want to throw it in the ocean. You want to hold it in your hands and you want to look at it and you want to feel it. Not so it burdens you. Not so it overwhelms you and destroys you, so that you can feel the full magnitude of it in your soul and then engrave it on your heart, so that it is there at a moment's notice when you find someone who's in a challenge, you can say, oh my goodness, I know how that person feels. Oh, I have been there. Oh, that feels, oh, that, oh, bless their heart. Oh, and to feel with other people, to be able to feel with them, instead of sitting over here wallowing in our own stuff, in our own misery, in our own guilt, in our own shame, in our own frustration. Oh, to be in this space, sucking the life out of ourselves and everyone around us. Oh, not a good place to be. But to have this in our hearts so that we can feel another person's suffering. This is the beginning of the law of attraction. Second step in the law of attraction is using our mind constructively. We cannot attract people and be living in counterfeit pleasure, living in catastrophe and worry and fear, and living in fantasy, escaping from reality, living in a time when we'll be rich and what it'll be like then. We can't experience the law of attraction. It will not come, it's not available to us. The very principles on which it is based are antithetical to that. They're just the opposite of that fantasy and catastrophe. That's why it's so important you listen to this piece and practice mental rehearsal. This process that is as vivid as your fantasies, except for instead of wanting to escape to them or get away from things or having fear or anger about not having them, it is a desire to serve and bless the life of another person, and the heavens open, and ideas come, and impressions come. We're sitting on the stage of life, living an experience in our mind, just like we would driving our Ferrari. And we're taught what to do, and we trust what we're taught. It ignites our passion, and we go into passion-driven action. It's very simple. So far, we're owning our own stuff. The self-esteem piece where it says, know thyself, choose thyself. The depths to which we might have to go to get to bedrock of what's true in our life, there is no limit to that depth. When we finally own that place, we can begin to create from that place, and conversely, there's no ceiling to the growth that can occur when we're building from that foundation, and then we can give this process of using our mind constructively, focused on others, we can give from an overflowing cup. It's not exhausting. It's not even hard. It's joyful. Now, that's a lifelong process to point that it's always joyful, never tiring. We all are human beings. But if we're building from this foundation, if we're using our mind constructively, if it's igniting our passion, if we're taking passion-driven action. We are in partnership with a power. The law of attraction is that people feel that we are safe. We're a safe place. People are just drawn to safe places in this crazy world. They open up. One client said today, just the words, tell me more about that, had opened up an incredible conversation for her today. I was thrilled to hear it, her voice, the experience she had, just with those phrases. And I shared with her, and I'll share with you tonight, that when we care enough just to go there, we're in such rarefied space. Og says this is the greatest secret of success in all ventures. People don't do this. But if we do, we're rare. We're unusual. We are attracting people to us. And that power that governs abundance will also start shepherding them our way. That's how it works. Now, as we're working on those three that I've just shared with you, connecting with people, goals and expectations, using our mind constructively, completing tasks, passion-driven action, we'll want to be disciplined and structured. Oh, there's a whole section in here called The Invitation to Freedom, that structure and order is not onerous. It provides the very freedom we seek. That power has some rules, and those rules are to help us avoid sorrow and pain. This isn't a Sunday sermon. This is practical, common sense. You violate trust, you destroy a relationship. Simple as that. You can say, well, that's that church's rules, or that church. It's not about a church. Trust is a real thing among people. And we live in a society that's driven by television, where everything is solved in 22 minutes. And every relationship can be casual and of no consequence. And it just doesn't work that way in reality. Not in reality. It leaves people miserable and lonely and frustrated and confused. Now, I don't want to get moralistic about it. I just know there are rules. And we can be resistant and rebellious. So there's a barometer in here for you to see how resistant and rebellious you are. Then there's all kinds of barriers to connection, how these specific thought processes function, so that you can see all the challenges it creates about getting really attached to thoughts and needing to be right and crushing people. And then you learn how to cure the need to be right, to let it go, to find good in other people's ideas, and to get your funny back so that you can have laughter back in your life, because laughter is such a healing force. Oh, to learn how to be disciplined within the context of connecting with people, using your mind constructively, and completing tasks. And then we say, okay, let's find joy in this process. And what's impacting that? What's causing my gratitude or lack of gratitude? What impact does sorrow have on my joy and my joy on my sorrow? What impact is being recognized or not recognized, or receiving sufficient money for what we do when we're working in that kind of an environment? How to handle those hard times we've talked about, and managing our time wisely. This is a wonderful section in here where I go into a discussion about the fact that when the mind already thinks something exists, the burden on tangible reality is almost beyond comprehension. It's called unrealistic urgency and frenetic non-goal-directed activity. The mind is trying to get us to create today what it believes is already so. When we know that, we can stop and take a big, deep breath and get more intentional about what we're creating. Otherwise, we're busy, 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 exhausted at the end of the day, and we can't even remember what we did. That's not intentional creation. And you can't find joy managing your time that way and discovering a mission and purpose. This is an interesting section. You probably won't find this message anywhere but here. Oh, possibly. But this is a way to find mission and purpose in such a way that this way can be superimposed on everything you're currently doing, whatever it is. and find a mission and purpose of greatest value on this planet where you are right now. Some adjustments could be made. Maybe there's a career change that's necessary. But most people, I'm going to go to this thing just for a moment, because I want to read you a paragraph that I just love this paragraph. I can find it really quickly. Because discovering your mission and purpose, there's sometimes a belief that says, as I consider the metaphorical greener grass on the other side of the fence, do I really believe that there are no weeds over there? Do I believe that grass over there does not grow and need mowing? Do I really believe that those beautiful flowers over there do not require focus and dedication? Do I believe that I will finally avoid the chore of shoveling the manure? Do I believe that there will be no pesky mosquitoes, snails, snakes, and gophers? Do I really believe that all the things I hate about this side of the fence do not exist over there? Conversely, and lastly, how many people over there, standing over there, looking over here, wanting to trade places? And I propose a different kind of mission and purpose, one that will bring you extremely high levels of joy. Because as I stated in here, it has less to do with the career that you choose and does with how you show up in that career. Very interesting lecture, I guess you'd say, principles on how to find a mission and purpose where you are right now. Now, there are some that will facilitate this mission and purpose at a higher level. But the challenge is, if we're shifting before we have changed, we're going to bring everything we hate about what we're currently doing into the next place. So everything we dislike about our current job is just going to go into our new career. Now, we'll have initial excitement, initial fun. Some of you have been through this, and you're all fired up. But when the work really begins, the work of creating that business in the millimeters of life, we will be facing a lot of the very same things that we did not like over here. What would happen if we found a way to fall in love with them? What would happen if we could create joy where we are before we made the decision to shift to something else? Very interesting conversation. And lastly, and of course, the place we spent a number of weeks this last month, and that's in self-esteem. What can we do to identify what has caused our self-esteem to be real and genuine and authentic, the real law of attraction? Real relationships, genuine, owning our genius, authentic, authosectic, being our true self, drawing people right to us, and letting go of the need to impress, pretend, and feel ashamed and fear. And then those six practices for improving self-esteem, including the first one, which is just, I'm still going back and reading it. I shared this with someone early this morning. This has been a very sacred experience, sitting here and working through these principles and getting them in such a way that we could communicate them so people could listen to them. This is not about Dave Blanchard. It's not even about Og Mandino, because Og never made it about Og Mandino. This is about you taking principles into your life and shifting your life so that you can begin to experience the joy and peace of mind that you so richly deserve. But that's not going to just happen. That'll be something you'll intentionally create in partnership with the power that governs abundance. Something that's intentionally created. Well, there's my message to you tonight. It is to get about the business of living. To get about the business of taking on whatever it is you're dealing with. Now, I'm very conscious of the fact that some may be in circumstances that are so painful that it's almost debilitating. Probably be wise for you to have an accountability partner. Someone who will buoy you up. Not someone who will commiserate with you, but someone that will buoy you up and help hold you accountable to help get through this moment in time. I do know these moments are temporary, even if we have permanent damage that's done by them. They are temporary in nature. The sun will shine again, so long as we stay focused on intentionally creating that which brings the sunshine back into our lives. May you have the courage to do this. And bless your hearts if you're in pain. Bless your hearts. It may not mean a lot right now, because there are some of those experiences you would never want to have again. Matter of fact, I wrote this down today. I'm not grateful in the moment, but there will be a time when I'll be grateful for the moment. There'll be a time when you'll call someone or talk to someone who is in desperate need. And because of your willingness to have your heart harrowed out with such sorrow and pain, you'll have such a capacity to serve. And when you do, and that life is touched, the joy you feel will be in direct contrast to the depth of the pain you have experienced. We talked about that when we talked about Gehil Gibran. That pain has carved out your soul, and it can be filled to the same level with joy. This is your little Gethsemane. Endure it well. If you can, without screaming at the power that governs abundance, but should you need to, then scream. I know I did. I long to cry to the God of my youth, but the God of my youth will not hear my cry. I must change my God or change my cry. That night is still indelibly imprinted on my mind. I can tell you where I was sitting. I can tell you the time of night. I can tell you the magnitude of the light in the room. It was that moment of such agony, of such despair. And the gracious God spent the next few years teaching me that it was my cry that needed to change. God does not rescue us. That's my name for the power. Call it the universe. Call it the infinite wisdom. It does not rescue us. It does, and I'll repeat it again, it does when you use your mind constructively. It does manifest the very ideas and impressions and solutions to assist you in digging out of wherever you are. And if you will trust those impressions and take action on them, you'll begin to have this sense of, I am known. And knowing that you're known will bring healing to your soul. And as you take that action, you will be endowed with more ability as you fully use what you've been given. You may not have all that you need. You truly may not be capable. You don't know till you fully use what you've already got. You take your foot off the brake and you press on that gas and you dial that phone and you talk to those people and you do the work until you can do no more. And then you say, I've done all that I can do. I've done all that I can do. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way? Could you assist me in acquiring more ability? And you watch the doors open for you to do that. Then you watch the people being put on your path who can serve you and who you can serve. It will feel like a miracle. Matter of fact, if you wrote about it, you would write about it in the context of a miracle. Somebody reading it who doesn't know these principles would think that they might be able to sit in a chair somewhere and visualize with enough intention and have the same miracle. And you will know then, as I know, that miracles don't happen. They are intentionally created. The miracle is that the time is sped up by the participation of a power greater than yourself if you are in congruence with the law. Well, take courage. Let's get a good night's sleep tonight. on your lives. Now, we've got about, 23, 24 minutes. Last week, we had a very brave soul, Colette, get on the phone, and that somebody asked me later, was that rehearsed? I said, no, that was absolutely spontaneous. Colette taught us so magnificently last week. Oh, it was beautiful to listen to. I'll go back and review that a few times. She taught us so well because she asked a question. She wasn't sure if anybody else was really struggling with this, but could we talk about it for a few moments? If there's anyone on the phone who's building a business, trying to figure out how to put their life together, and they've got a question that they're struggling with, let us explore it. I may not have an answer, but if I have one, I'll gladly give it tonight. Let us explore. So the next 22 minutes or so are yours. So if there's someone who'd like to come forward and just open up and serve the group as Colette did last week, the floor is yours. This may be a very long pause. Let me just give you just a few more seconds, because if there's nothing else to discuss tonight, then I'm
Dave, I have a question.
Very good, thank you.
You're welcome. This is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny.
Sometimes, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I've just started down this whole path. And I'm just wondering whether or not, like, all of what we're doing doesn't have to be in order, or am I going to glean something out of connecting with people and goals and expectations and completing tasks and self-esteem? It can all be part of all of one, can't it? I mean, there is no, or is there an order in which I should be following? Like the scrolls are all in order. Does my question make any sense?
It's a great question. When we're coaching, we follow a pattern based on the need of the client. Sometimes we start with connecting with people, because as Og says, greatest secret of success in all ventures. You know, with this alone, I can succeed, and though I have all the knowledge and the skills of the world, without this, I'll fail. So that's a pretty important piece to get in place. It's hard to get that piece in place if we're having such a challenge with self-esteem and something we might be dragging around that we can't focus on people at all. So we might have to go into self-esteem and work on a few of those pieces, and that's where we will do our best on Tuesday nights if you're coaching with me one-on-one, and we are. That gives us that opportunity to be able to work with your situation, with your unique assessment, just a little bit closer to find out where to go. So we start working with, and if anybody is on the phone, just let me share with you an idea. I would start with connecting with people. If you're having challenges with those laws of intrinsic validation, then go listen to self-esteem. Just listen to it. Take some notes. So you'll have a context of why you're struggling, because there might be so much garbage going on that it's hard to let it go. And that'll give you some courage to say, man, this is just a nuisance. This is in my way. So I come back over here, and I start connecting with people. What we'll never do, Jenny, is perfect that one before we move to the next one, because they're all tied together. Because as I'm working with people, and I'm connecting with people and stepping into their world, I can be even more effective at doing that if I have been using my mind constructively in preparation for that conversation. I can have inspired ideas of places to go and things to talk about that I wouldn't have by just being there. So we want to learn how to use our mind constructively, because one of the greatest deterrents to connecting with people is catastrophe and worry and fear. So we use our mind constructively now. With that in place, I'm going to learn how to take action so I can actually be in places where I'm talking to people. Starting to see a theme here. It's like intrinsic validation is improved by mastering how I use my mind. intrinsic validation is improved by being in action. Intrinsic validation from connecting with people is improved as I become more structured and I stop rebelling and resisting. And as I'm looking for the good in other people, as I'm letting go of the need to be right, am I becoming a better connector? Am I intrinsically validating at a higher level? Oh, yeah, as I'm finding joy in this process, and I'm personally excited about this, how am I going to show up when I'm connecting with people? As my self-esteem improves, and I have less need to focus on me, and I'm more available to serve others, what is that going to do to my ability to connect with people? That's the pattern. It's not linear. It's almost like a hub, and in the middle of it's connecting with people, and all of these other things are playing and assisting or detracting from my ability to connect with people. Now, we go through it once. What do? We go back and do it again. And then again. I've shared with people that when I was recording the Unveiling the Secrets of the Ten Scrolls, I had many breakthroughs of the scrolls in the scrolls in the middle of a recording session. And I'd already been through them 10 times. And having another moment like that, oh, how exciting. I know that when I've gone back to listen to some of this audio, I've had breakthroughs listening to myself dictate the audio. This makes sense, does it? Why am I having a breakthrough, a deeper understanding of a principle of something I'm teaching and recorded? Is that possible? Yeah, that's what's happening. And so we're going through a journey of ever-increasing depth of awareness. Now, I'll give you one last formula. And Jenny, I can't remember if I gave this to you today. I may have. Those of you can write it down. Just write this down. It's not mine. Stephen Covey uses not his either. But it's a great concept that the world walks around, for the most part, unconsciously incompetent. They don't even know that they don't know. I remember that day in my life. I didn't even know that I didn't know. And then we have a wake-up call. Something happens. And sometimes it's something awful and traumatic, but it's enough to humble us to have a stop and wake up, open our eyes. And the very first thing we discover is that we're now consciously incompetent. Now we know that we don't know. Well, that can be a depressing moment. If anybody's on this phone and we're sharing principles, they go, man, I didn't know that. I didn't understand. What a great moment, because it's not a step backwards. It's a step forward. It's the next step forward. I'm now consciously incompetent. I now know that I don't know. So I'm going to begin to learn and practice. I'm going to practice it and practice it. Tell me more about that. Share with me what you're thinking. Walls come down. Get better at connecting, handling those caustic comments, those ones when the boss is just out of control and you choose not to lash back. There are those on the phone who go, yep, that's right, I remember that when we talked about that one. And all of a sudden, we're getting better until we become consciously competent. We now are aware enough that with consciousness, we can competently use the 7 principles of intrinsic validation. We can competently use our mind 5 constructive ways. We can now competently use power sessions to stay focused in the now. We can now competently stay structured and ordered and disciplined in our lives and etc. Now, Og told us that there will come a time when we can be above this. Most of us may never get there in this lifetime. Because he put a pretty high standard on it. Let me read it to you. It's in scroll number 2. If anybody wants to turn to their scrolls, he talks about it. He says, I'll read you the whole paragraph. He says, but how will I react to the actions of others? With love, with this agape love. For just as love is my weapon to open the hearts of men, love is also my shield to repulse the arrows of hate and the spears of anger. Adversity and discouragement will beat against my new shield. Anybody here ever had someone throw a spear at them? You know, emotional spear? It will beat against it, my new shield, and become as the softest of rains. Whew, turn that spear into just drips of water. My shield will protect me in the marketplace and sustain me when I'm alone. It will uplift me in moments of despair, this awareness. yet it will calm me in times of exaltation. And this is the key. It will become stronger and more protective with use, consciously competent, until one day I will cast it aside. Ooh, I don't need it anymore. And walk unencumbered among all manners of men. Nobody can hurt your feelings. You're whole and complete. Everything's wonderful in your life. You are now unconsciously competent. You don't even have to think about it. It's just your nature. But Hogg says, and when I do, my name will be raised high on the pyramid of life. And if we talked about some of the names that are up on that pyramid of life, one thing we'd notice is there's not very many of them. Some of you may get there someday. My goal is to stay consciously competent. And there are times when I slip out of that. Let us try to work to get here consciously competent. Jenny, kind of a long answer, but there it is. Any other thoughts?
It was a good answer. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good to hear your voice. We have 12 more minutes. Oh, there's a brave soul out there that I know is just going, ah. Well, bring your to the phone and let's take it on. Okay, I'll give you just another minute to jump on if you'd like to ask a question. I have a wife who is very ill, and we are nursing her back to health. And if we don't have any other questions where I can serve you tonight, we're going to end this call, and I'm going to go serve her. So does anybody have a question before we wrap up this session? Okay, well, thank you for being with us tonight. Go enjoy finding joy in the journey, especially if you're having some challenges. This will be a great section for you to listen to. It's designed to bring comfort to your soul, to give you courage to take on your life. May it do so. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great evening, and we will talk to you next Tuesday night. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.